Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most influential and listened to podcast in auto detailing. Welcome to the community.
Community, I know you love beer, and I know specifically you love free beer because that's what we do in the community. There's no better time to get free beer and enjoy community than at Mobile Tech Expo Community Pub Night. Sheldon, tell us about the community night.
Yep, this will be Friday after the show closes. So immediately when you leave the show floor, be on the lookout for our staff. We'll have drink tickets, we'll have bars set up, and we'll be all raising a glass together and just toasting community. Hope you can find someone in maybe a different industry to meet and make that networking connection. You never know how it could take your business to the next level. And then when you're at the show that day, make sure you swing by the Pints and Polishing podcast booth, because I hear Marshall might be giving out those drink tickets as well.
Oh, yeah. So, we'll have quite a few to give out, man. We're super excited about that. What do the drink tickets do?
They just allow you to go get a nice cold beer in a Pints and Polishing cool cup, the rubbery ones that we actually had in 2020. So we'll have those available. You just got to get that drink ticket so that you can come raise a glass with us.
No doubt. Silicone pint glasses is what we do. Excited about more community. I know everybody's looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time, Sheldon. Thanks so much, man.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
Hi, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. My name is Marshall Hill. I'm your guide as we journey through the car care industry. You can find Nick and I on most platforms at HyperClean Store, if you're on Facebook, or the HyperClean Specialist Group. Shoot us a text direct, 918-800-1188. This is the Community Pub, and unfortunately, we're drinking Miller High Life tonight. Unfortunately, indeed, but that's only if you don't like champagne. If you do like champagne, well, you're in luck. The Miller High Life is the champagne of beers. And since it is out of New Year's, all right, we're going to drink some champagne, drink some beer. Brandon from Tim's is putting together a list of all the different beers. So shoot him a message. You can go into the HyperClean Specialist Group and find him there, or find him on Facebook and suggest to him a beer that you want to drink on the Community Pub. We're going to dive through a couple different ones here for a little bit, but Miller High Life it is tonight. John, were you ever a High Life guy?
No, God, no. Only when I went into the racetrack, yes. That was the only time.
Yeah. I never have been a huge fan. What about you, Brandon? When you were in the sorority house, did you you drink a lot of that High Life?
No, they loved Keystone, and I would have to go buy my own beer because it made me want to puke just smelling it.
So yeah, the Keystone was right there next to the High Life. You're right. <Yeah. laughs> Mike Hine used to drink a whole lot of Miller High Life back in the day. I know that. Yeah,
it was either Keystone or boxed wine they always had. Neither one was a very good choice.
Yeah. What about you, Wyatt? Do you you ever partake of the High Life yourself? You're on mute.
No High Life, just Miller Lite. Miller Lite, Busch Light.
Busch Latte? Busch Light.
Yeah, Busch Lattes.
We'll do a Busch Latte here pretty soon. Oh, yeah. I guess it is. I don't know. If you like if you like Miller Lite, I could see why somebody would drink the High Life then. It's just like the thicker version, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's kind of a waste, if you ask me.
Do you remember Beast Ice?
Do what?
Beast Ice, Milwaukee's best ice.
Ah, no, I never really drank that. Milwaukee's ice stuff? Yeah.
That was the first beer I ever got drunk on, and it's got, back then it had a higher alcohol content, but it tasted horrible.
Ugh. Didn't Budweiser, somebody have a Budweiser ice or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That was too expensive.
Oh, was it?
For me, when I was a teenager, you know?
Yeah, true. Lucas, what about you? You ever get into the High Life?
Only once, back down in Florida a few years ago for my honeymoon. Stayed in a hotel next to a German kid, and me and him were outside smoking and talking and drinking, and we got pretty fucked up on Miller High Life.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. He said one time.
Yeah.
There was this one time.
It was a rough night drinking with a German. So I don't know. It just, it's not my thing. And the gas station by the shop didn't sell it. So I got some Miller Lite instead.
Oh, nice. Good call. Wyatt'd be so proud of you.
Yeah.
So one of the cool things that happened today that we want to talk through, Mr. Hine, are you going to be joining us at Mobile Tech Expo?
I'm going.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I've had my tickets a month now.
Oh, that's awesome. Sweet.
Yeah, as long as, I'm debating right now with as many flights that are getting canceled. I may take a 4 days extra vacation, and if a flight gets canceled, I'll just drive. Yeah. Or if they're canceling flights because of weather or COVID or whatever it is, I'll leave 2 days early and drive down.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, man, really look forward to having a beer with you in person. I'll drink the beer, I guess. You'll drink your vodka.
No, old man alcoholic gin.
Oh, that's right, Jim. My bad. But the booth this year is very exciting. So it will be back up on stage, Derek, as you remember from a couple years ago. And we record episodes, we give out beer, but this year it's a little bit themed differently. We're really diving into the pub atmosphere and what we put together as a community. So we've got tables all around. And we're giving away beer. We're going to have tables all around for people to come hang out. And listen, the lineup is getting really, really exciting. We've got one of the fun ones that's going to be right before the community pub at 5 o'clock at the end of Mobile Tech on Friday. We'll walk out to the community pub where we'll all drink more beer. I mean, that's just, for me, Mobile Tech Expo becomes just, I just basically drink all day. It is what it is. And we'll come out, we'll get beers, and we'll hang out at the live version of the community pub. The episode right before that, before we walk out, is with Rennie Doyle, and it's with our good friend Buzzword Billy. And we're going to dive into what is entrepreneurism inside of detailing. We've got lineups from every major manufacturer that is ready to come up and talk. We're going to have great discussions with Sonax and Flex on deep paint correction. Rupes is coming on to talk about one steps. We've got a whole lineup of groups coming in to have discussions. This is what we've always desired about community, right? Let's have talks. Let's have some discussions. And it's really, really exciting to see it all come together. So anybody else that's going into Mobile Tech Expo, man, come by the booth. Let's have a beer. Come out to the community pub. Love to hang out with you. Have more beer there. And please use it. If anybody wants to save 15%, use discount code PINTS. There's a bunch of discount codes out there, which is funny now because you see them floating around Facebook of all these discount codes. So if anybody wants to save money, there's plenty of discount codes out there. Use PINTS if you want. Save 15%, and we'll love to see everybody there. Derek, remind us your memories of the last Mobile Tech where we basically drank beer all day and talked about HyperClean products. It's a great time.
It was crazy. Like, just especially like setting up the booth and stuff, getting everything together. Me and you blew up that big Mogi blow up that you had. You remember he fell over at one point when we got him picked back up, and it was just crazy talking to all the people. Like, you get to meet everyone. Like, we had Ray Doyle ran through, I think, at the end of the last day of the show. The guy who owns IGL, like, came and helped us, like, put the tents back. He like ran and jumped to put the tent back together. But once we got the booth set up, once we got the stage set up, you just had a lot of people who were just standing there just watching. Like, it was it was pretty crazy. Like I was even like, I didn't want to leave. Like you kept going, hey, you can walk around, you can see the rest of the show. And I really didn't go that way. I was just too busy looking around. It was a cool show, man. And then we had, remember how fast we ran out of beer? Like once you did the pub.
Yeah. The community pub ran out of beer in like 15 minutes. They really didn't know what to expect, but hey, you tell people you want to get together and talk about the industry and drink some beer. Jeez, the lines got really long and they ran out of beer real fast.
Like so, I remember I grabbed you and I was like, Marty, like we're out of beer. And you're like, Derek, it's only been 10 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I know we're out.
I mean, we're talking fast.
But like, when you were talking about like talking with industry, like I remember we're getting food and we're being, I think me and Darren were talking to a PDR guy for a long time and we were going back and forth. He was telling us about his business. We were talking about his business. It was so cool. Like, I can't wait for this year too. I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What are you looking forward to for Mobile Tech 2022?
Oh my God. I've been looking into seeing if there's any trailer manufacturers for mobile detailing trailers there. So I can start talking to some of these guys or kind of picking people's brains on like what options. I'm that guy. I don't want a big trailer. I want a smaller one. I'm getting tired of pulling everything out of my truck and then having to leave out there. I know last night it was 18 degrees. So if I left everything in the truck, would have got all messed up. But just getting to see everyone and kind of hang out. And that's honestly the most I got out was talking to people and just asking random questions. Because everyone that I talked to would tell you anything they want to know about the business. It was kind of cool to get to meet and talk with the detailers. Because then you realize that you guys all have the same, you know, problems or the same things that you like. And it's pretty cool to be around people. It's kind of like going to like any trade show, but I had a really good time.
Yeah.
Derek, what state are you in?
I am in New Jersey. I know it's a little colder than New York, but.
Because if you go on Miranda Detailing on, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, on YouTube. I love Phil.
Yeah, go back several episodes. Phil has a guy that builds out these trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the guy's in Virginia, which isn't bad for you.
No.
But you might want to look this guy up. He's his innovations are pretty cool.
Oh wow.
Hey Derek. I'm in West Virginia, dude. I'll send you a picture of my skid. We can build you a skid. I initially built mine for a truck bed and I put it in my 5x8 enclosed trailer.
Did I hear for free?
But we can build it for, you know, probably a quarter of the price that you would pay for a right look skid.
Yeah.
So I'll send you a picture of mine, and you're in New Jersey. So, I mean, hell, worst case, I can take a week or take a day trip and run it up to you.
Derek, that's where I'm at as well. Is I got my truck now. My van is sitting back, and right now I got my truck. So I missed my damn van. I miss everything.
Yeah.
But I'm also the opposite side of I have, because so. Been to a lot of places, and Arizona has got the worst drivers, and I don't even joke that they're just bone stupid here. I mean, they just, and I've seen more accidents, more detailers lose their trailers because of them either going through intersections and them not paying attention, or somebody else not paying attention, than just taking out their whole livelihood. And I think that's where I get paranoid. So that's why I love the van. I love the concept of everything being in one location. I'm thinking about a trailer, but I'm like, damn, that's just another piece of their taxes I got to pay and something different. Dude, I've seen some really cool skids lately. And I'm like, damn, that'd just be awesome.
So Dustin, what goes into a skid? What all do you do? How do you do it?
So basically you take some, mine's built kind of heavier duty. So mine's got it's built out of 2x2 square tubing and then 3/16 sheet metal. And it's welded together. And then we took a piece of 2x2 square tubing, welded it to the top of the skid, and then welded my cox, or it's not a cox reel, but it's a reel. to the top of that. And then my pressure washer is hard mounted. My generator has a slot where it literally just sets down in between angle iron. And we weld hooks on each side of your water tank. Mine is outfitted. I can run my 125 gallon or my 65 gallon. Mm-hmm. It's a basic skid. It's a nice setup. And then the only thing really is, you know, throw some bottle holders in there. And my setup is gravity fed as well. So I run a Honda GX200 with a triplex pump and have no issues.
Wow. What's something like that cost you?
So to be honest with you, I had $500 in material. And then I gave my buddy, you know, kind of a roundabout idea of what I wanted. He drew it up. And, you know, he's a welder for a living, and he put it together.
That's cool, man.
Oh. So we've been tossing around the idea of getting into building these things because, you know, we can.
I want to know.
What I'm curious about is, Mike, when he was talking about all that, did you probably put that together in your mind, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You knew exactly what he was talking about. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, I'm a carpenter, you know.
I get it. I know.
Yeah.
So how would you build it? Would you build it similar?
I wouldn't go as heavy. You know, I wouldn't go as heavy. I'd go with a lot of aluminum. Because it's lighter.
I'd powder coat.
But I like the whole concept of a skid because, you know, you slide it in, you slide it. If Derek wanted it out, he could pull it out if he was working out of a van, you know. When I was working with my tools, I had five vans all set up for my guys and everything was really efficient. Yeah. You know, if I was a mobile detailer, I'd be after one of the vans. I wouldn't do a trailer.
So I did both, and the trailer, you know, and I've shared the story of losing a tire, you know, with a full
and flying off. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a full container of water. Like trailers can have issues, but
dual axle.
Dual axles would be good. And enclosed would be good. Mine was open. I didn't think of it as getting the big sign on the side of having an enclosed trailer. And I mean, it makes sense now. Just back then, I never even thought about it. I just,
all I cared I about was cleaning cars.
And just started cleaning cars. Yeah. And we cleaned concrete and we cleaned all kinds of stuff out of there. As the mobile side built up, I did buy a van. So we ran both. And the vans were nice because, John, that's what I can appreciate too. Everything was inside. Everything was together. I didn't have to go back up to connect to something. I didn't have to do anything. I just had to get in and go.
I'm just going nuts right now. Yeah.
I get both sides and did both sides. Derek, you use out of the truck, right? So,
yeah, I was gonna say. So, I have a long bed Tacoma with a 6 foot bed and a double cab. So it's a pretty big truck, and I can fit all my stuff in there. And it's fine. I think for me, is the tonneau cover I have on there. It does leak a little bit, and I want to be able to just pull the stuff out and go, and I can hitch up to a trailer. But I'm looking for like a small trailer, like a 4x6, like not even that big. And I'm just finding it. There was a company that made one, and now they don't. So yeah, you can only find them used now. And I've been looking back and forth to get a trailer. So I don't want a very big trailer. That's my problem. And it just seems like the market for those small little, like, I'm sure you guys have seen the U-Haul trailers.
They're not there.
Everyone wants the big one.
I had a small trailer just like what you're talking about, exactly that, and it was perfect. And someone latched up to it and jacked out in the middle of the night. And I'm like,
oh,
like, And I think that's what kind of turned me off. I had to anchor my stuff down when I'm like, no. Yeah, but it was like perfect size. And I know what size you're talking about, like perfect size. And I tried, dude, for years. Like, I even asked him, like, hey, if I give you the dimensions, can you just make it? They're like, well, yeah, but it wouldn't be worth it because it would cost you. I'm like, really? Just cut that in half then. Let's just make this
happen. Cut it in half. I'd try.
Can you give me 50% off? I'll take the back half.
I had a company say no. Like I tried to look into one and they're just like, yeah, we don't. I'm like, why though? Like,
well, because now you got everybody else that makes skids and makes everything else like that, where everybody and their sister is now doing all this crap.
I do like the skids. They look nice though.
But now the question is they look good, but after using them for a while, like realistically, how many people are really sitting there scrubbing every single thing out there? It's not happening. When they pull it out when they have a problem, I think the skids are awesome, but I just seen I just drove up to a detailer the other day and I got out, shook his hand and said, hey, where's your wash bucket? Let's go. And I helped him clean a car. His wife's looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, dude, it's freaking cold out here. I'm like, let's go. And he goes, I'm like, I ain't taking my shirt off. It's too damn cold, dude. Like, let's go. And he goes, but you're helping me. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you ain't got to pay me. I'm like, let's make this happen. He was the nicest guy. We sat there and talked for like an hour and a half afterwards about the hypercooling products. And he ended up buying some Anyo. It's just awesome, you know, because the thing is I don't care about what you do. If you are there out there hustling, I respect you. And he had one of these skids and he had to keep throttling things and changing things. And I said, you know, if you put a pump on this, you wouldn't burn through your motor. You keep in that. He goes, yeah. I'm like, dude, your pump's going out. And he goes, well, I was kind of wondering. I'm like, dude, that's going to cost you like $500-$600 just to fix. So I would stop what you're doing after this detail. And I'd go get that change and get that your thing. He's like, yeah, maybe I should do that. I'm like, yeah, I'm not telling you maybe. I'm saying if you're not working, you're not making money. And he goes, oh, I didn't think about that. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, what the hell are you thinking about then? If you're not working, you're not making money. And he was a nice guy. But it was completely just funny. I literally showed up and started detailing with this guy.
Yeah, completely agree. When everything goes, if something goes bad, oof, not good. Brandon, what do you do? What type of setup do you have?
This Brandon? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I was going to mention the trailer because I used to have one. It is a great option. But what I found is when you're in tight spaces, I don't know how the roads are where you are. Being mobile, it's really hard to find a place to park. When I went to the dealerships, it was hard to find a place to park with the trailer and the truck. And then mine rotted out, similar to you. I was on the highway and it was a used one, rotted out up here in the Northeast, and the whole axle broke while I was driving, and I had to make it all the way home with it like bouncing like this.
Oh, no.
But after that, I pretty much lost my investment. Didn't get another trailer. I ended up leasing a new truck. So I have a new Ram and that's what I utilize. But I have to unpack mine every day, just like you being so cold, and I got to put the car seats in, bring the kids in the morning, unpack them, repack the truck. But with the trailer, you got to unpack that too. That's cold too. And there's a lot more stuff in a trailer. So, you know, it's
kind of like, I know it's like it's good in the bag.
Whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Well, I use my truck. What I found is if you get it down, how everything's organized,
that's what I started doing.
Even if you organize it different for different jobs, like my truck is different on retail jobs than it is on my wholesale jobs. You know where everything is. It's still just as efficient. And it gets the job done. And then in my truck, things that need to stay warm are in my huge second cab of the truck. And I can keep everything warm in there. So it works pretty well.
Joe, you use a van, you know, before you were in the shop. Explain what you did inside that van.
What I still do in that van, I work out of it every day and do the shop. I'm going to tell you this right now. I have one of the best vans in the whole wide world. And that's a Nissan Envy. That van has never given me any issues. It's a 2500. Like, I put 300 gallons of water, got a generator, and sometimes have me and three guys. The most I've had in there was four people. And it rode like a V6. So that's why I always vouch for that van. I wish I could afford another one. But yeah, I had to go with the van because the trailer wouldn't work. Pre-COVID, I was working in garages, high rises, and the trailer wouldn't work. So I had to go straight to a van with my contracts and stuff. So it always was the best thing for me was a van.
Yeah. Lucas, what about you? You ever done mobile?
Oh, yeah. I did it out of my wife's Equinox for year and a half in Michigan. So that was fun battling, hauling in all the tubs every night because I don't have a garage. That's all I do now. But back then, you know, park in the driveway, haul the shit in through the snow, park, bring it back out in the morning. But I worked at FedEx for a while, and I was thinking every few years, FedEx gets a new round of stepside vans, and they offload the old ones cheap, and I mean dirt cheap, and like $5,000-$10,000 gets you one with 120,000 miles. Those things are bulletproof, and they're super easy to work on. They're just cab on frame chassis. So I was gonna be like, oh man, I can pick one of these up, have plenty of room to do everything. They have to be waterproof, obviously, to haul packages and stuff. So I was thinking those would be like the perfect thing for mobile detailing or mobile mechanic, anything mobile, because they got to be big enough to fit all the packages, but small enough to go fit in all the tight neighborhoods. So I was looking into that, or there's a lot of guys around my area that run those little Ford Transit vans, but yeah. I don't see a whole lot of trailers around here. It's mostly the Transit vans, I'd say, or the old Ford E-Series. There's a lot of those vans too.
Yeah. Yeah. There is quite a few of those. It's true. It's true. All right. So we've got somebody here tonight that I haven't met before that I remember from the face or whatever. So yeah, with the cap on, with the Moto G stylus. Ooh. What's your name, man?
Zach.
Zach. Nice to meet you, Zach.
Yes, sir. You too.
Oh, tell us about yourself.
Oh, I'm down here in Wyoming. I've been detailing for about 2.5 years now. I'm like most of you guys, I started out mobile and then moved on to getting a nice shop in town. And currently I'm not doing anything mobile. Everything's out of the shop. Our winters are pretty dang harsh. So detailing outside, not really an option most of the time. So
not in that bitter cold.
Yeah, it's -20 right now, so it's...
Yeah. Oh, I've been up there many times.
Yeah. It's nice negative in the shop.
Mike, do you laugh at that, or do you go, oh, that's cold?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You know, I found it in Wyoming. You know, it's... Yeah, I mean...
No, you always say it's cold where you're at. And I'm like, God, it's not that cold as -20. Like that's crazy.
No, it's we don't get that.
Yeah.
You know, this last week was in the teens for 3-4 days, but today was 40. So
yeah, it's in the 40s here today. I was like, hell yeah, that's the way to do it. If I can be in the 40s and 50s through the winter, I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting it'll be back down in the teens tomorrow. There's a storm coming off of Erie, Brandon, so you won't get any of it. We're going to get the tail end of it. We'll probably only get 4, 5, 6 inches. Buffalo is going to get 18.
Some say that's really all you need.
Oh, boy.
But, I don't know who that some is.
You know, it is what it is. Winner's winner. You know, you just deal with it.
All right. So you moved into a new shop. How's that going?
It's going good. I've been in there for a year now, solid. Last January, we moved into the shop. And
congratulations.
It's nice. It's steady. Thanks. Yeah, it's steady work. I mean, what's crazy is I'm busier now, I feel like, than I was this last summer. I mean, interior details, especially with the weather changing and getting nasty out, everybody's tracking mud in their vehicles and everything like that. So taking care of a lot of interiors lately, been pretty steady. It's nice. I got kind of a niche market where I'm at. I'm pretty much the only detailer here. So it's really nice.
Where are you at, Cheyenne?
Must be a major metropolis.
Yeah, Cody area. I think our population is 5,600 people. So
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Yeah.
It is surprising how well you can do in those areas. Those of you guys can remember Superman, who's come to Mobile Tech before. Call him Superman. His name's Darren. He's from Route 66 out of detail, out of the giant metropolis of where he, I mean, he's in Chandler, Oklahoma. They're somewhere around that same size, man. I mean, he's a super, super small town. He's not the only one though. Even inside that town, he's got three other shops that he competes against. I mean, it's crazy.
I got some smaller shops popping up here now that are not really that much of a competition. Their follow-up game is weak, and I've kind of made a name for myself over the last couple of years, so it's worked out in my favor.
Good for you.
Yeah. Nice, man. Congratulations. It's awesome. Really happy for you. Brandon from Tim's, I saw you there, but I'm not sure if you're still there. No. Oh, there he is. So you're the miserable soul that picked out the Miller High Life. I mean, the amazing guy that we're so thankful.
You mean, Marty, you mean the champagne of beers?
Yeah, I mean
the champagne of beers. We're bringing in the new year with the champagne of beers.
It says it on the can. Like, I got the 30-ounce tall boy just for tonight.
Yeah, I saw that with the tall boy, and I was like, gosh, I don't know if I really want to drink that much of it. So I went with the six-pack, so, you know, there'll be plenty left over, you know.
Somebody else. I'm drinking it in my Blue Moon glass, though, so it makes it taste nice. Better.
Nice. But
it's
Brandon,
just as bad as I remember it. Just as bad as I remember.
Just as bad as you remember? Yeah.
Yeah. My first sip, I think it's like, what they squeegee off the floor, and then they just put it in a bottle.
Yeah. Well, this reminds me of a lot of college parties.
Yeah, someone's got to follow this up next week with Red Dog.
No.
And next week we'll get back to a good one.
What are we doing next week?
I think, what was it? One of Derek's, what was it, Derek, that you wanted?
Sam Adams Winter Ale.
Ooh, I'm out of line. That's not a good one.
No! It's got a good taste. I like it. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It reminds me of snow.
Might have to save the rest of my high life for next week.
Oh, it just so happened to expire.
Half the can?
Hey, Cooking with Nick, what was on the menu tonight?
We doing baked mac and cheese with crab.
Oh, I saw that cheese you got there.
Baked mac and cheese with crab.
He's got fat tire cheese in there, though.
I do. Fat tire aged cheddar. Mm. In here.
Wait, like fat tire beer?
No calories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like
fat
they
tire
make...
beer cheese? Where in the world did you find that? Don't tell Publix. Me Publix.
Yes, sir.
Oh my god. Damn you guys and your Publix. We don't have,
I have to send you my address now. Jeez.
Fat tire, age cheddar.
Huh.
It's good. You should get some.
I can't. We don't have a Publix.
Yes, you can. You gotta come back up here.
There'll be a Publix. Hey, there's a Publix at Mobile Tech. So,
speaking of that, Marty, I do want to reach out to you, like have a call with you or something, and talk about details, the cabin, and all that. Because I've never been. I want like the rundown of like what to do and that kind of thing. So, like, how do I get in contact with you? Like, can I get your number?
Yeah. I'll shoot you.
Can I get your number?
All right, bet.
Can I get your number?
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. We're super excited about it. I know the famous Derek Sliders will be on the menu one point in time. And, and then we're excited to see what you're going to cook. Usually the opening night, I'll cook it up. We have a lot of fun, man. It's a good time.
Okay.
It takes a good time.
I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Brandon, are you still around? I want to talk to you to find out what you do in your mobile setup, if you're still there, but I'm not sure if you are. No, I think he's fully gone now. Maybe he'll be back here in a second. Wyatt, as you've been around talking to guys, what have you seen from detail setups inside of mobile rigs? What are you seeing that's most common in your area?
Me?
Uh-huh.
So honestly, pretty much in Montana, mobile guys don't last very long. They pretty much go mobile for a while. They realize it sucks working in the weather. And then soon enough, they either go to work for someone that's shop-based or they get their own shop. But the very few guys that are, I would say the most guys that are mobile are fleet wash guys that are washing like fleets of semis. You know, they got big flatbed trailers. They'll have like a couple, you know, 350-gallon tanks on there, big tanks and hot seas and stuff like that. Or just in coast trailers. But we probably only got a couple mobile guys, really. And they mostly just fleet washes, basic setups.
Yeah. And I think it's probably common, Brent.
Yeah, speaking of mobile setups, I wanted to ask everybody that's on here. I'm looking right now at a couple vehicles for a second vehicle to put on the road. And I'm looking at two different vehicles. I'm looking at a Mazda 5 that I was thinking of gutting the back to make it like a Ford Transit. But, you know, it doesn't look real cool pulling up. There's also a Land Rover with an LS swap for around the same price. it needs some tuning and stuff, so it's going to cost a little more, but I think it's pretty cool.
Brandon, what color is the Mazda though? Is it red?
Silver.
Oh, never mind. Just get the Land Rover.
It was red. Mazda.
I like the Mazda. The redesigned Mazda 5.
Well, they're reliable. They're great on gas, but I figured if you gutted the back of it, it'd be nicer than buying a Ford Transit. That's what
Yes, it would. Yeah. And your gas mileage would be better, but not only that, like, dude, it would just look classier like that. I was thinking about doing that with a Hyundai Santa Fe, because it was a nice little Honda Santa Fe. I was thinking about gutting the whole back and doing that as well.
Yeah, you said Land Rover, LS, and swap all in the same sentence. And then it just sounds like one big headache to me.
That's what I'm worried about, because I don't know how much he has done with it.
It might have a GM V8, but it's going to have the Land Rover wonderful electronics still.
Yeah.
Windows won't work at all.
No.
Hey, nobody's got my stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My question is, okay, I don't know what your options are up there with vehicles, but what is your image? If you are into eco-friendly and was waterless washes, electrical vehicle, you can come in an electrical vehicle because you're still trying to save the planet. But what is your statement when you pull up? Can you pull up in a Mazda? If your statement is luxury vehicles, can you pull up in a Mazda? If it's, I don't know, maybe if you're doing mom and pop's cars, because again, I don't know where you live, what's your demographic and what's your image, but that's my question.
Well, that's what I was worried about with the Mazda. I can make it look cool, but I do work on a lot of high-end vehicles. And I didn't think it really looked as professional. It looks more like when I started out kind of thing. That's what I was kind of worried about, but I can also vinyl wrap it, make it look really cool. But you talked about eco-friendly. I am eco-friendly, but because I have to be. And up here in New York State, there's a lot of water runoff laws, kind of like California. So I can't just go spraying cars all over the place.
Gotcha.
Have you guys seen Derek Cope's setup, mobile setup?
No.
Do any of you guys know who that is? Derek Cope's. He's got like one of those, like a Chevy Aveo, like or a Chevy Sonic hatchback. They're like those tiny Chevy ones. And he's got a water tank, got everything in it. And like about also touching on the high end stuff, like he pulls up, he'll post on Facebook, like, swimming with the big sharks today, and he pulls up with that little Chevy, and he's working on like Bugattis, Maseratis.
My best friend has a painting business, and he actually gets jobs because of what he drives. All these other guys pull up in big trucks, big wheels. He pulls up in his Nissan Versa, towing a little trailer, and they love it. They love it, and they said, "This is why I hired you." Yeah.
Exactly. So can you do that with a Mazda?
I could, if I make it look cool, I think I could get away with it. But no, it doesn't match my image. No, it does not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are I've had plenty of complaints because I no longer have my hoopty van on the road, and they're like, "Where's the van?" I'm like, "Well, it served its purpose." They're like, "Oh, we kind of missed that van." I'm like, "No, that pedo van. It's time for it to go bye bye. It's something new."
Brandon, why are those the only two options?
Right now that's all I'm finding. Because it's winter here now. There's not a lot of cars for sale, and if they are, they're rust buckets. And I'm not really, because I have a brand new truck, I also don't have the funds to get another brand new car. So I'm looking at like older used vehicles. So that's the only ones I found that looked decent.
Oh, that's crazy.
So then the other question is to anybody, I guess, if you could choose, this is funny. I'm curious what everybody thinks. If you could choose your detailing mobile rig, whatever it may be, what would you choose? Like
G-Wagon.
All right.
No way.
Mine would be,
after hearing that podcast, be. Hell yeah. G-Wagon.
That would look pretty cool.
No. Mine would be an electrical. Might as well be an electrical Tesla.
Some of the worst
Tesla.
Advice ever, right? Go get a G-Wagon, you know, to detail out.
If Tesla or the companies did come out with electrical, like all electric SUV, that would look kind of cool.
That's what I do.
I can see if Ford does an e-transit, which I heard rumors about, like an all-electric transit van, which I think they already have, right? You pull up in one of those, people will be like, oh, yeah, it's all electric. Like,
I would also like a classic VW bus. I thought that'd be cool. That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, mine would be a 1957 station wagon. Drop that thing down, go to shows, kill out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drop that thing down on some 22s.
With the rear-facing back seat, though?
You damn well better believe it.
My friend had
That's
one.
When I get my brakes.
My friend had one.
I rode in the back seat of that for so many years. That I don't know how many people I flipped off and got in trouble for.
Yes. We used to go into abandoned buildings, and this guy was tailgating us once. We threw those donuts at the back. We rolled the window down. Yeah. We started throwing donuts at the guy behind us, and the guy backed off real slow. And I'm like, I love this car. Like,
yep. That would be my ideal car, because you can go to shows. You'd be a detail rig, but you could also, it's a conversation starter, and it pulls everything and it tracks everything to you.
Brandon from Tim's, you were gone a little bit ago, and we were talking about mobile detail setups. Explain your setup.
I got a 08 Dodge Ram quad cab. Mainly everything is in the back. Got a water tank, pressure washers mounted to a piece of plywood. I got a generator that I put back there, vacuum cleaner, all my chemicals. I like the truck because I'm separated from the chemicals, so I'm not always in there breathing gas and chemicals and stuff. And so I think that was one of the truck setup is nice. I like it better than the van.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Didn't explain your van.
I mean, the van was, it's kind of, the same setup, but I did have a much bigger tank. It was like one of those 300-gallon totes. And, it's had everything kind of in there. But the truck setup seems to be a little bit more user-friendly than the van to me, honestly.
I like the truck, too. I agree.
Yeah, the only thing you can't really have in the truck, or I haven't found I've been able to have in the truck, is, like, hose reels. But, that's kind of the only downfall of the truck, I guess. But other than that, it works great.
I got a question.
hey, Cooking with Nick, do you do mobile detail at all? Don't you put in some stuff into your mini? Yeah, Cooking with Nick.
Yeah.
Shit, sorry, I was talking to my mom.
But at least you can
bring on my gas. You can't. Hold on, Mom, one sec. So I've done mobile stuff in the mini. I can fit every single thing I have, except for an air compressor in the mini, pressure washer, my entire chemical supply, all my polishers, pads, towels, everything, you name it, except for one air compressor. But that's got to have a subwoofer in the back. I mean, if I just put it like in the back, like stuff it in, sure I could do it. But when I do like my heaviest details, I do it at my aunt's garage down in Winchester, down at Tim's Ford Lake. That's a 2-hour drive, and I'll take everything down there, do full interiors and corrections and coatings. Don, and you saw me do that Lexus. That's exactly what I did. Everything in there, just cram it in, and we're good.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, Nick, I started in a Volkswagen GTI.
Yeah, buddy.
And heavily modified Volkswagen GTI.
Yeah. So I actually modified my Mini to be able to hold more. So I took the rear seats out, and what I figured out is if you put a board on the rear seat latch support, like that metal bar on the body, up to the back like threshold of the hatch, like where the latch is, it's level. So what I did is I put a giant piece of wood all the way from literally like 1 inch from the front seat all the way back. So it's one giant load floor, and it's a big trunk now. Like it's sizable. It's probably 4 feet by 4 feet, or 4 feet by, yeah, probably, yeah, 4 feet by 3 feet, 4 feet deep, 3 feet wide of just solid wood. So I can hold plenty.
And with the hatchback, you got the height.
Exactly. Plus the front seat that can hold a pressure washer and the floorboard, the bag of buffers and pads and probably something else in the front seat. And then I can hold two small bags, like two backpacks behind the seats in the foot area of the rear seats. So if you think about it, you can actually fit a healthy amount in there.
Interesting. All right, Derek, you know what I think? I think I'm ready to hear. We can continue on with some discussion, but I felt like I really wanted to hear what the tab out question of the night is.
Oh, I'm afraid, really afraid to ask this one. I don't know if we want me to save this for mobile tech, because this could be a pretty extreme question, but I think I'll ask it here and then maybe we'll do it there. So, this is kind of back last couple podcasts we did, but what is in a full detail, or what is included in a full detail?
Wait, what? That's your tab out question? What's included in a full detail?
What's included in a full detail?
What the hell, bro?
You sound like every one of my customers.
I want to know what you guys think is included. And I know it's a loaded question.
I was just going to say, that's an open-ended question.
Bro. I know, but mm-hmm. I know, but
the pub's supposed to end.
I know.
I clean your valve stems in my full detail.
See? That's why I want to know.
You have helium in your tires.
Yeah.
Oh, see. I'm like, I'm not full details. I'm carrying the groceries in as you come in. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. I change your dome lights.
Blinker fluid. I charge you your fluid.
Yo, they sell on Amazon. They sell on Amazon.
Oh my god!
Pick it up by the gallon.
Oh,
yeah. Man. So I don't know. I don't know. That might be too much. So I have another one. If that one's too much, because I know that could be a long
conversation. Hey, Derek, that pause you had in there talking about, oh, I saved this from mobile tech, and you.
It's a rough question. I have another one.
I was expected to be nasty or something.
But yeah, that's what I'm going like. Wait, it was just about what's in your butt. I mean, you could at least say something like explain a detail service
in the back seat.
You were going to ask, like, what do you do if the wife puts a finger up or something like that?
I don't know. Have you ever had sex with your detail rig? I mean, something. I mean, hey. Yeah.
I got another
apparently, Derek, the high life just got you, man. You're drinking that champagne, you know.
This is champagne or beers.
Hey, you know, I mean, that question. Hey, what's in a full detail? Yeah.
Are we talking about on your spouse?
Yeah. That's all night. There we go. That's what I meant.
There, it's a trick question.
All right, it's a trick. So, John, see, your wife come. You went home from work, and your wife goes, "I need a full detail." What do you do?
Drop my drawers. Let's go. Let's. I don't give a shit. Let's go. I did. Like, why would anybody ever question it? It's one of those. I use rotary. I use buffer. But either way, we're making some shit happen.
Wait, John, you forgot. Before you drop the drawers, you got to go grab a bottle of slick.
Yeah.
Oh,
wait.
He's already sitting on the waterbed. We're good to go. We're good to go.
Leave us out.
What's the difference between the rotary and the dual action propulsion in that situation?
You got straight speed. You already want the slow. It's how you want to go. Do you want buck?
Yeah, but do you use the decon spray before you do that first?
Well, that's after the fact when you call the mate.
Are you panel prepping before the full detail? Like,
wait, better be calling the maid first.
Oh God, no! You can't call her for that kind of mess.
Well, hey, I ain't cleaning that mess up.
All right, Derek, we gave you a hard time, but you said you had another question that you were thinking of.
Please,
so the other one. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. So the other one, it's still detail related though, but it's can you call yourself a detailer if you don't do coatings?
Yes.
I think you should call yourself a detailer if you don't do coatings.
Yes. I think the detailing is in the quality, the end game of your work, not the protection and not the PPF. Because if you can clean the car and wipe it down, and it's streak-free, wheels are brake dust-free, radio streak-free glass, that's detailing. Car washes can't do that. But now how you protect it, that's on a whole nother level. You know? Is it a cake without the icing?
Joe, that's awesome, because nobody says that.
It's a very shitty one.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brandon, what are your thoughts?
My opinion.
I just think, like you've talked about it many times, it's crazy how we all do the same thing and it's being split up. Yep. Like people judging people, whether they got the vaccination or not. It's crazy. We all do the same thing. If you're doing a coating, guess what? There's prep work too. You're doing the same thing. I do it all. And I think everyone that's doing everything is a detailer. I think some people are ashamed to say they're a detailer, so they come up with different words, but there's no reason to be ashamed. There's different kind of detailers. There's high volume, then there's high quality, but they're all detailers. I don't understand it.
Are you bringing in money for your family? It's respectable. That's it. End of story.
Well, I just don't like people talking down to other detailers because they do one thing and the other detailers do another.
Yep.
And I hear that a lot and it's just rough. Like you said, we're a community. We should all talk to each other, help each other, not talk down on another detailer because they do a different side of detailing.
It's just because of the stigma of that you clean cars. Because I have clients that go, oh, you clean cars. You're right. I do clean cars. And what I do is a luxury. And I get that I'd be the first one that you cut out of your pocketbook. I get that. But I think it's that when someone thinks they've picked up a polisher, they suddenly think they're a professional because they've accepted a dollar as their profession. And that doesn't make you the professional because, like you said, it really boils down to the integrity of how you take care of people, but also how you carry yourself. Because I know really good detailers. I'm not even kidding you. I would never pay them a dime because of their arrogance. I wouldn't even want them in my area, even in my bubble. I would rather tell a customer, I'm sorry, I can't help you, knowing that this guy can do a better job because of his arrogance, because I will not allow anybody to ever think that the detailing needs to be any kind of negative stigma, because this is one freaking hell of a community where I don't feel like I'm bullied. I for me putting myself out there saying I'm doing a good job, I'm trying to bust my ass. If someone's out there doing a good job, I'm the first one saying, you did a great job. Because you took that first step as a detailer saying, hey, I just polished my first car. What do you guys think? That takes balls in this kind of world right now. And so I think that if you're cleaning cars, whether you're a guy that's cleaning cars for Carvana at 20 cars a day, or whether you're doing one car a day, fully detailed coating, whatever the case is, what is it? that LL Cool J saying man makes the money, money doesn't make the man. Detailer doesn't make, you know, using the words detailer or specialist or I think somebody said auto salon or somebody, I don't know, what we do. So I say, so you clean cars? Yeah. Okay, cool. Welcome to the club then.
Well, John,
and that's the end game for me. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just like Joe said, I think it takes a lot more skill to properly detail a car than it does to use new technology with a DA buffer you can even buy at Harbor Freight Tools, and anybody can use it. Or use products like HyperClean that are very easy to use. Typically anyone could use because they're very easy to use, especially the coatings. Like, so just like Joe said, I think there's a lot more skill in someone who can properly clean a car than someone who's taking a DA polisher and applying a coating.
And this is where I come in at with the thought of it. Say, for instance, if somebody wanted window tint removal. End game, yeah, great. Okay, no tint is on the glass. But there's someone out there that's using a razor blade, and they're just ripping through the tint, and possibly will leave one little nick or two on the glass. But then you got someone that comes to the pub, someone that goes into, you know, training, someone that sticks around other like-minded people, and they grow and hear different things, and they use steam. And they just use steam and they get it off in like less than 2 to 3 minutes per window. And they're not out there all day. For me, I think that's what a detailer is. I got some people talking about, oh, I did a full detail, and you see the shampooing. And it's like, if you would have used this product right here, you would have got that extra piece that you said wouldn't come out. You know what I mean? I don't knock that person, but don't put your specialist on top of something when I can clearly see, just by looking at your photos, I can tear your detailing apart. Again, that's what makes it wrong as me as a detailer, is that I can see it, but this conversation is just because of the whole scenario of what is a detailer. You understand what I'm saying? For me, a detailer is a person who can solve issues to the best of their knowledge because they're consistently growing and growing and growing and growing. They're just not arrogant, and they stand in a little bubble, not trying to research any other products, not hearing anybody else. When somebody has a solution, they go, oh no, I use this. I use the G1535 on a bucket, whatever the crap letters they want to use for a product. And it's like, they're not growing. You understand what I'm saying? I would care less about the name of something, but how to use it and how to speak with my customers and guarantee them that this doesn't come out if it's actually something that's stuck. That's for me is detailing.
Good point. Lucas, what about you?
I think there is a big difference between detailer and someone who details. I think if you're someone who is a detailer, that means you have an LLC, S Corp, doing business as some kind of legal designation. That means you pay taxes. You have some kind of insurance policy to cover you when you inevitably are going to screw something up. Because I don't care who you are, you can be Barry Maguire himself. Eventually you're going to screw something up, and it's going to cost money and a bad experience if you don't have insurance. So I think if you're going to call yourself a true detailer in this business, you have to have insurance and some kind of legal designation to make yourself, real if you're going to run this as a business. I also think that there is obviously lots of different levels and quality. There's the fabled post we all see in the Facebook groups of there's this marketplace guy in my area who's charging $25 for a full detail. How do I can compete with this? And it's, I don't think that anybody who's in a real detailer with, you know, business license and insurance even needs to pay those guys an attention, because they're not going after a market that we really need to give a shit about. We're going after people who want quality work at whatever price our market dictates. And we're people who strive to provide the time and necessary tools. And, you know, I'm always buying new tools and going to different training events, whether online or in person. And I don't think I'm the best in my area by any means. I've been doing this 3 years. I'm not even close to the top guy in my area, but the way that I sell myself, at least, is I can tell my customers, you're going to get a better product than, you know, what you would somewhere else that's cheaper than here. But what I can guarantee is that I'm going to put my time and my effort into it to make it as best a product as you can possibly get from me. And I think, you know, you can, it's such a vague word, and it depends on where you are in the world too. Over in the UK, they have detailers, which are the people who do, you know, the corrections, PPF, inside ceramic coatings, outside ceramic coatings, window tint, you know, the restoration people. And those are the detailers over in the UK. And then they have what's known as valeters, who are the guys that vacuum cars, wash cars, do what a lot of people in the States consider detailing. And it's not one or the other is right or wrong. It's just, it's a dictation of terminology, depending on how and where and what you do. And they have a little bit more of a separation to that. So, you know, at the end of the day, there's money in everything. And if you found something that makes you money and you do it in a safe way, that's legal and you're protected and your customers are happy, I don't have a problem with anybody calling themselves a detailer. But I'm not a big fan of people saying I'm the best detailer in Grand Rapids, but I charge $40 for a full detail and it takes me 45 minutes. And I started doing it 3 days ago with shit I got at Walmart. It's like, I can't respect, just out of the respect and of our craft, I can't call you a detailer. You're just a dude who has a side hustle right now. And that's great. That's what I started out as. That's what we all started out as. We all started somewhere, but you're not somebody who's going to be respected in the industry until you have some things in place that make you have a name that is respected, if that makes sense.
Weekend warriors.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. Appreciate it. Mike?
To me, it's all in, to me, being a detailer is all in details. I have one interior package. I don't do a vac and dust. I either do a full interior or nothing. I have three exterior packages. I have a wash, clay, and sealant. I have a wash, clay, and 1 year. I have a wash, clay, enhancement / correction in a 3 year. That's all I have. And it's all in the details. I mean, to me, it's, I coat my door jams. How many guys here coat their door jams?
Not me.
Yeah, I coat my, I would assume, because I'm not, it's just me. It's the way I set my business up. I'm not going to have a customer say, well, you just charged me $2,000 for this. Why didn't you do this?
Mike, for me, I did it because, you know, before we had the great saver applicators, we had, I hated the velvet shit that people would try and hold and like put on the thing. Yeah, it was super awkward. It was not efficient whatsoever. So yeah, you know, just use those traditional microfiber applicators, right? Well, the problem, as we all know, is you got a lot of products still in the sponge. And people would ask me, well, yeah, well, what happens with that? What do you do? And I go, wipe them on the door jams. And they go,
oh.
I was like, yeah, why not?
Yeah,
I
so
got
it's
a product on an applicator. I've got to use it. Then I just figured out places that I would put it and wipe it certain places so that I could use it up. That's how I started doing door jams.
Door jams.
Good it's stuff. Just this just the way I've set my business up, and I operate on the KISS principle, and I keep have a
simple stupid or
that's exactly it.
Yep,
and that's what I do, and it's all in the tiniest little details. And I have customers, repeat customers, that will say that, you know, in comments on Facebook or whatever, I looked, I couldn't find. you know, and it's just paying attention to the smallest of details. And that's what a detailer does. I mean, I'm building a $30 million building right now. Okay.
That's what's up.
And I have my steels erected, but I have 10 steel detailers detailing out the steel. And what that is the finest of details. That's the moment welds. That's the torquing of bolts. That's all the fine details. So I took my, you know, construction knowledge, my carpentry skills and my management skills, and I put that out in the shop. And I didn't, you know, I didn't have this when I first started 3 years ago. I had YouTube and I saw the guys that I thought were pretty good and I followed them. And the guys that seem to stand out are the guys that take care of the smallest of details.
Mike, I want to commend you because that's to me what makes you a really, really, really good detailer is because you only focus on just what you focus on. We, as detailers down here in Florida, we would go from landscaping to pressure washing to cars, RVs, planes, boat, whatever somebody brings us, and we would try to do it. Not me per se, because I don't do a lot of things like pressure washing and all that stuff. But the reason why we don't get so great at certain things is because we're all over the place. You actually narrowed it down. I don't know if it's because you're just an old school guy, okay, set in your way or whatever the case may be, and plus you just said your construction, because a lot of us our age, we don't have the guts to say, ah, that $500 job over there, they want me to do it. We don't have the guts to say, nope, that's not in our package. 9 times out of 10, we chase it because we're young and full of energy and all this other stuff. But I would love to just have about 3 or 4 packages. We have a sandwich shop here, and you can't get the sandwich no other way except taking off things. You can't actually put on, it comes one way and they have a line for one way, but if you don't eat onions and stuff like that, you can take it off, right? If you're allergic to it. But that's all they focus on. They don't have nothing else on the menu and the line is out the door and they make a bomb sandwich. And that's where, because they focus on the best meat, the best cheese, best bread, everything is perfect because they're only focusing on one thing. It's and like that's what I chicken. Heard from you.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, see, with me, you guys are young kids. I'm building a business so that when I retire, I spent 22 years as a carpenter and the last 20 years in upper management. I build $20 to $120 million buildings. Mm. I get no satisfaction when I'm done with those buildings. None. I just, where's my plans and specs? I go to the next job. And people are like, why didn't you come to the ribbon cutting? Why? Because this is what I do. I built the detailing business so I'd get that dopamine I got when I was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. And doing something with my hands, and I want something to do when I retire. So my shop is based on $65 to $100 an hour. My goals are $65. I don't have 3 kids at home to feed. Okay, so if I make $65, I don't hit my $100 an hour goal. I'm good. I got a 3.5 car garage out there. I don't pay rent on, you know? So I'm in a unique position that I can do whatever I want to do. You know, I'm not a good example for you young guys, because if the shoe was on the other foot, yeah. I mean, when I started out, I was framing and trimming houses and I was sleeping in them. Okay. because I wanted to work an 18-hour day and I was too tired to go home at night. So it was a whole different game when I was younger. You know, so I'm not a good example. I can set a standard and say, okay, you know, like this weekend I did a Toyota Corolla. One of my customers bought it for his daughter. He doesn't even ask me the price. I told him, look, I'm going to do this for you for $1,050. I probably put 30 hours into that thing. Technically, I lost money. 32 hours into it. But I can afford to do that. It's, you know, it's all good. And he like freaked out when he saw it. And he threw me an extra $100 cash. And yeah, so I'm not a good example.
I think you are. Afford, I think you are.
Well, you're I am a businessman now. Yeah, I'm a businessman.
That's a good example.
If I'm giving a customer an enhancement, I will not give them a correction. Okay, but I'm going to give them the best damn enhancement I can.
And that's what I'm doing right now in that Benz. I'm doing an enhancement. Okay, I've been on this thing for like 3 days now, and I'm going slow because I'm doing other jobs. But that's all he's getting. His paint is trash, but I'm giving him an enhancement. I did that to that Alfa Romeo. He was happy as hell, and now I'm doing it to the Benz. But when I say, I want to say this, you are a great example. What's the other kid name who was doing semi? He got the semi truck inside of his shop. He's on here. He had the glasses on with the cap. I don't know his name. I don't know if he's on here still. Where is he at? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, he's not on here. The young kid. Okay.
Wyatt,
what he
right?
said.
Wyatt. Yeah.
Yeah. That kid, when he came on and said he was doing the metal polishing and he has a way of getting a certain kind of trucks and vehicles in here and he will be the niche for his metal stuff. Mm-hmm. That right there is like, that is key for a detailer. Marty, you're focusing on ceramic coating and your hyper clean and your like basic stuff until you can actually capitalize on the leather situation. You're not in it just be throwing out products. There's people like us young guys, I'm not saying I'm me, I don't do it, but there's people in my age group that, man, they don't even specialize in it, but they will go do this and go do this and go do this. It takes away from what you specialize in. And that's where I think we get lost as detailers because we're trying to do so much stuff. We're chasing everything.
You got to chase one thing, perfect it. It goes back to that saying of the true saying of what is it? Jack of all trades, you know,
master of none.
Better than master of none, but better, you know, that whole thing. But it boils down to that too many guys, they have this, I look at their Instagram and they'll have this huge list of all these things they can do. And I'd be like, okay, that's great. It's like, but I can do more than you. I'm like, well, yeah, you can, but that's because you're all over the map. I'm trying to perfect certain things to become better at those. So I'm known for those specific things. I don't want to be known for, oh, look, this guy does it all. Because my grandfather did it all and he enjoyed it. And I enjoy doing it all, but I enjoy the end of the day, the results that I get. They're chasing money, and I guess I'm just I'm not chasing money. I'm not chasing that paper. At the end of the day, I know what I'm chasing. I'm chasing happiness, and I know that my happiness will project out. And you're right, happiness doesn't pay the bills, but happiness does pay the bills, because if I'm happy doing what I do, I will give my best every single time. And I think that's where clients see that, and I think that's just where I'm trying to be personally and professionally, is that I love doing what I do. And you don't think you're a great example, but you're one hell of an example. And you need to step back, tip your hat and say, yep, we salute you. Cause that's respect right there. You are doing things for passion. And I think that's cool.
Definitely.
Hey, Mike, Brandon, Mike, if you Brandon start,
well,
you
just start, before okay. I say, remember this, John. Purpose drives passion.
Yes.
Purpose, you got to have a purpose. Passion. The passion after a 12-hour day goes away. I think I heard somebody say that on a podcast once.
Exactly.
Purpose. It's all about the purpose. Mm-hmm. And that'll drive the passion. After a 12-hour day, passion ain't got nothing left.
When it's 120 degrees out here, trust me. Yeah, I get that.
I've had Brandon, Brandon from Tim's. That's true, Mike. That is a great quote. Brandon from Tim's, what's your thoughts on detailing? I guess, Derek, go back and ask the question in case
we all got lost.
What's in a full detail?
No. I'll wait some moments. I want to see what happens if we ask that a moment. Like, listen to people all listening around. They're like, what did you just say? Like, I want to see the people run over, but.
They're going to throw the kegs at you. Boom.
I know. That's why I'm a little scared. I want to see what people say, because you see that on all the Facebook groups, and people lose their damn minds when, I'm doing a full detail. And then, like, you just see the different packages, and I'm just like, oh, my God, for how much? Like, what are you doing? Like,
exactly.
I
want to see someone bust out the old classic, like, scrolls that you used to see on cartoons. Someone, like, comes and it just rolls out for like 20
feet. I can't wait.
That sounds like my next TikTok video. That's a great idea.
Yes. Yeah. But Brandon, my question was, can you call yourself a detailer if you don't do coatings?
Well, definitely. I mean, especially since I've got into the chemical side of things, being a distributor and with that, I've got into training people, and there's like so many people don't even know what a coating is, never even put a coating on, and they're out there detailing cars every day. So, I mean, what I've been doing with the training is actually trying to bring my state and the area up, you know, so that we don't have the $25 detailer anymore, that we're all charging a good amount, that when somebody calls and I say it's $250 to do a full detail on your car, they're like, oh my, you know, the people ain't freaking out because everybody's charging that. And that's my goal with distributing and getting into training other people is I want to raise everybody's game up so that we all making good money.
Oh, that's community. Nicely done. Derek, what's your answer? What's your thoughts?
Well,
yeah, I hear a drink first.
How did you shit?
Kind of along the lines of what most people are saying, because I know I was detailing for a while before I was even doing coatings. Because honestly, when I first started, I was scared of coatings. I didn't really believe in them at first. I was like, you know what? I'll just do my paint sealants and I'll be good. Like, I ain't messing with that stuff because I thought it was a bunch of crap. And then when I finally started installing them, I was like, oh, but what happened to me, and I actually had a couple customers ask about it, where like when I had customers where I was doing their cars, and then they would ask, well, hey, do you do these ceramic coatings? And I was like, no, not yet. Like, I'm not really into it. And then I was like really scared to start doing it. So I would definitely say you can definitely be a detailer before you start doing coatings. But I've just noticed, like, I had a guy reach out to me about you know, getting started, and that was his first question, that he thought he wasn't a detailer unless he was doing coatings. And I was like, no, man, you don't have to start at coatings. Like, it's kind of like Joe had said, like, the icing on the cake, but like at the end, you can kind of, as long as you can, all the prep work and all that other kind of stuff is like more of like what you're gonna, I think, is like being a detail, like being that attention detail, getting the paint as good as possible, or do whatever you gotta do. The coating's the easy part. So it's like, mm-hmm. There's a lot more work in being a detail than there is putting on a product. It's like, you can, if you don't know how to do that first part, you can't do the last part. Like, I mean, that's my opinion. That's where I had the question, because I had a guy basically tell me that he didn't think he was a detailer unless he was able to put on coating. And I was like, no, man, like, that's the easy part. Like, it's all about that first part. And like, once you learn how to do that, and you do have attention to detail, then you can kind of go from there. So. But yeah, I definitely think you can be a detailer, and that's more important than putting on a coating. But that's just, to me, that's just what the industry is kind of moving towards now. Because now you got Walmart selling like coated, quote unquote, coatings in the store now. So I have more customers saying like, oh, they know, more of the normal consumers know about coatings now because of like, it's just getting more and more like saturated in the market.
Interesting. Nick, what about you?
So I think there's a line between like detail and maintenance. So like for me as a customer, if I hire a detailer, I want their skill set to be beyond something that I could do as a maintenance. So like, say, I'll give you an example. The Lexus NX that I just did, I did a full interior clean and protect and exterior one stage correction and coating on, but they're going to maintain that. I wouldn't like, they're going to do maintenance washes on that. So if I call the detailer, they're going to do whatever I can't do. So like, in a nutshell, like, no, I if you don't do coatings, yeah, absolutely, you're a detailer, as long as you're doing something that is beyond what the average consumer could do. If you have some type of skill that is beyond what anybody could just go out and just do, sure, you're a detailer. That makes sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can elaborate more if needed, but like, I think you kind of get it.
Yeah. I kind of get it.
So if I can put on PPF, if I can put on window tint, if I can restore headlights, am I a detailer?
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't think so. On my opinion.
Okay.
I think detailing is in the cleaning. I just think.
Detailer, yeah. Like the term detailer,
it's in
like
the prep.
Really big umbrella. Like if you're a detailer, you're a whole, you can be a whole bunch of different things, whether it be a correction specialist, a cleaner, a valeteer, as they would use in Britain.
If I have platform shoes on, it doesn't make me 6 foot.
Say that again.
If I have platform shoes on, it doesn't make me 6 foot.
That is true.
But to me, explain
your point a little bit.
Do what?
I'm saying explain a little bit.
Which one? The one about detailing being an umbrella? Mm-hmm. So like, if you're a correction specialist, I think the detailing has to come as a part of that. You got to have the skills to be able to do that. And that's something like the skills to be able to set it up properly, do the correction, have the skills with the machine, that kind of thing. And that's something that is beyond the skill of an average person. So you're a little bit more into the details of the process of what a normal maintenance to maintaining, say, a protected car or just a car period would be. So in those details, I would consider you a detailer. But let's see, like.
So let me ask, maybe this might make sense.
Sure.
If we put into Joe and John are saying. Mm-hmm.
We're losing you, Marty. You're rough. Is that me or because right now?
Oh, he's breaking up for me too.
I think that's Marty. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Marty. I was gonna say it's not.
Lost him.
Wait, no. He fell out. No.
Fall off all together.
Oh, yeah. Said, fuck it, I'm done.
Yo, Marty.
Maybe I'll go back closer to my router or something.
That's what I did. I moved closer to my router.
Oh, my God. Like, Marty in the video was just like, he was done. I'm sorry.
Marty fade to black.
So I think what, let me say this, Nick, and maybe.
Sure. My...
Same thing, Marty.
He's gone. Like, it's got.
Get closer to your Uranus.
I don't think you can say it, Marty. I think it's the problem.
Marty, your camera's got COVID. Like,
always there's the little guy on your shirt.
There we go.
That's okay, but you can hear me.
Kind
no.
of.
Yeah.
No.
Kind of.
You sound like Max Headroom.
No, Matt Max Headroom.
All right. Why
today, Junior?
Put in the chat. Hey, Marty, put it in the chat. We can definitely get that.
Yeah, we can get that. We got time to type.
Well, Nick, you were saying it's a general term, and I agree. It's the name of the industry, and there's different levels, like I think everyone said all across the podcast. So it's kind of similar if you said dealership. If I'm in the middle of the road looking to my left at a dealership that's holding 100,000-mile rust buckets, I look to my right, and they're selling Porsche, Audi, and high-end cars. They're both dealerships, but they do completely different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
Like, let me put this thought in your head.
That's so just disagree. Just disagree.
Let me. They're selling different cars, but the guys working on them are the same kind of people.
Yeah, they're both dealerships. That's what I mean. It just like everyone's, no matter what you're doing.
Right.
Let me put this thought in your head real quick. So like, I see somebody say, say a regular dude, you go out and get a bucket and some soap and you just doing a car wash. I don't consider that detailing. I consider that a maintenance. But the guy that's got you know, the brushes, the nicer bottles, you know, the chemicals, who's scrubbing the emblems, who's doing the toothpickery and the door jams, who knows the difference between a wax and a sealant, the dude who knows the difference between a 1 year and a 3 year coating, the dude who knows a little bit more knowledge of this thing and knows how to apply it, that's what makes a detailer versus just a general person that knows how to do maintenance, which would be your average consumer. That makes sense?
Yeah.
It's a knowledge-based thing to me.
That's all it is, knowledge.
I think we're all just like, what?
Knowledge, patience.
But a detailer could be all types, from all levels, from the bottom all the way to the very top. It's a big umbrella. It's not just one little thing.
We agree.
That's humans. Agree. We're trying to break down everything, just like we're all humans, and everyone has to break us down into different individual categories.
Oh,
like,
we're
all human beings. We're all detailers. No, like, no, we're always breaking down everything.
Oh God, no.
Totally.
We chose this profession, so therefore
that could be it. Yeah, Marty was looking for a Walt's thoughts.
Where you at, Marty? Speak.
I wanted to know what Wyatt's thoughts were.
Wyatt's thought.
Wyatt,
what's your thought?
I'm kind of like on the same page. I think that it all comes with knowledge. I think that sometimes we could all be a little bit hard on calling people like not a detailer.
Yeah.
Because we all did start right there. But some people just grow fast. Some people stay at that level. Some people, I call it a technician mindset just because I came from a dealership. So like some of these guys just have a technician mindset. They're just trying to go like do the job. And they're not really trying to have a relationship with the customer, explain anything to the customer as to like upsell for protection or anything. And I mean, that kind of falls back to a car washer. There's like tons of people that just do car washes, but yeah, I guess it's already been said.
And that's why they charge $20 because they're just washing.
Exactly.
Right.
That's it. They're not claiming that. They're saying, I'm just a car washer. That's it.
Right.
And they need to stick with it. They need to be proud of it. I wash cars for
them. And they're good at it. Yeah, they're good at it.
Yeah.
And that's why I charged $20 when I first started, because I was like, I didn't know what to charge and I didn't have much knowledge. So I was given a discount for me to be able to learn and experiment on products and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And when that grew and grew and grew, my client base kind of shrunk. I wasn't really advertising myself as much. But then again, that's also when I started working for Tesla and my time didn't – I wasn't free all the time. I was working a full-time job. I'm working 40 to 60 hours a week and that kind of thing. And my niche got smaller, and then my goals got smaller as a detailer. I started focusing on not just I'm going to do the whole car, or like I stopped focusing on every area, like you said, the jack of all trades. I started focusing on the knowledge of like correction or wet sanding or various things like that. Makes sense?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I guess for me, and we'll close out with my part, is I was, I guess, considered myself a detailer long before coatings became around, right? I started detailing 2002, but then I've run all different sides of the industry, from mobile detailer to car wash. We detail right at car wash to having a valet company that worked not only malls, but bench things, and we valet and then right there we're laying. I mean, we've used quote unquote detailing in all different forms. If I wash a car, I'm going to wash it the absolute best I can. Does that deal it? I don't know. I mean, I didn't clay it.
Y'all see that glitch?
I didn't use a certain spray to, yep. to dry it. And I didn't wipe my hand a certain way, and I didn't perform certain things. But if I wash the car and it looks fucking good and everybody's happy, did I detail it? I don't know. I mean, I get both sides. I really do. I get both sides. No, I didn't perform all these different things that dialed in and fully detailed. But the paint looks great. Customer's happy. The car's shiny. Can't see anything other than a great shiny paint. Could I say I've detailed cars and I've run them through a car wash? I've valeted and waterless them at a convention center while people were playing basketball, or at a mall while people were shopping. And when they came out, the fucking car looked amazing. Paid $25.
You want to know what doesn't make me a detailer, Marty? Another detailer. Anytime you ask another detailer, I have a customer right now that's coming back to see me because somebody said that the tray that I used on their vehicle is not a true ceramic coating. Because one other detailer wanted to sell him a ceramic coating.
Listen, man.
I'm waiting on him to show up.
Yeah, I got cars that I had a guy say the same thing because it wasn't a certified like warranty, but I have cars that lasted 3 years because they had leases, and I just literally go, I show them the video and go, listen, this car is 3 years old. Here's the video when mm-hmm. I did it. Here's the video of me doing it before they brought it back. So you can say whatever you want, but I know it holds up, so I believe in it. So
you know, it's funny, Joe, that guy that probably said that is saying his last 5 to 10 years, and he's only been in business a year.
He's my point exactly. He's on the side of a road. He's on the side of he's right. The interstate is right here. There's a Bales Bondsman right here, and he has a tent attached to the Bales Bondsman. And it says ceramic coating.
Because I've asked my going on to the
next to a windshield repair.
I've asked my customer that, Joe, who brought that to my attention once. Well, this other guy said his last 5 to 10 years. And I looked him up. I said, how does he know when he's been in business 9 months?
Wow. And I said, I can use exactly. that too. I can use that too. Okay, great.
Damn.
That was definitely a great question, Derek. It provoked a lot of good conversation, man.
Nice. Oh, it definitely did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ceramic coating does not come in my full detail.
Wait until I'm asked the full same. Detail. I want to see people lose their minds. Like, I can't wait.
Gonna sit back with some Parker and watch the fight happen.
No, not Parker. No.
Well, guys, until next week, go ahead and close down for the night. Thanks so much. Great talk. It's great. Joe and John put in a lot of great info today. Lucas, man, thanks for coming back again. Great time. Yeah. Appreciate it. Hope to see you again.
Sounds good.
Man, good to see you. Thank you. Good question. Nick, mac and cheese look great, and looking forward to seeing what you're going to cook at Mobile Tech Expo for us. That's what we're excited about. So,
hit me guys, up. Thanks so number, much. Man.
Have a great night. See you next week.
All right.
See ya.
Have a good one, guys.
See ya.